In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Louisa and the Mediatrics of All Divine Life, Part 2, and we are on page 6, at the top of the page, Volume 28, 3, 12, 1930. Jesus begins, "A prolonged and continuous sacrifice possesses such attraction and enrapturing force before the Supreme Being as to make him decide to give great goods and continuation of divine life to mankind." This is a lot of people are greatly discouraged by suffering. They can't understand why a good God would cause suffering to good people who are striving for perfection, striving to be good and holy and saintly. Jesus is showing us a prolonged and continuous sacrifices. This basically, we're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are suffering because we're in the fallen state. In what God is bringing us to is this glorified state where there will be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. And yet we are at this point trapped in time and space. We have to get through this. Even though St. Thomas Aquinas says if the veil was lifted, we would see we were at the throne of God, glorifying God, worshiping God in the glorified body. But right now, where we are is we're in time and space, and our Lord is asking us for this continuous sacrifice. And what is the sacrifice? It's to give up our human will, to use our free will to choose, "I no longer want to live in my human will." And again, what is the human will? It's very simple. It's what you say to the priest when you go to confession. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do." That's the human will. And it's miserable. And what do we say to the priest? "I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasion of sin, to not live this miserable life." And what Jesus showed Louisa is to say to the Lord, "I want to live in the divine will. I want what you, Lord, want." And that is that we begin to live this abundant life, this life that God gave to Adam and Adam lost. And then the new Adam, Jesus, comes to earth. The new Eve, Mary, comes to earth. And they possess this divine will. They possess the divine life. And they redeem mankind. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now we can begin to live this divine life of Jesus and Mary. How? Through this little newborn. He said to Louisa, "I teach you this book of heaven. I dictate to you, Louisa, this book of heaven. You just write it down. All you're doing is writing it down for us, for those who will want to live in the divine will." This, he said, "I was going to teach to Adam if he did not sin." So Louisa possesses more than what Adam had. Adam did not have this teaching of how this is done and why this is done. So a prolonged and continuous sacrifice, Jesus says, possesses such attraction, such an enrapturing force before the Supreme Majesty to make God decide to give these great gifts, the great goods of the divine will, and this continuous life of the divine will back to mankind. You see what God is doing? He's saying to us, everything's going to begin. I'm coming back to bring my kingdom my people are going to live the way I originally planned for them to live. So Jesus says this, if Noah had not obeyed and did not sacrifice himself in carrying out a work so long, he built the ark, it took him 100 years, he himself would have been swept away in the flood. And since he would not have saved himself, the world, the new generation, would have ended. So he found in Noah a faithful and obedient man who was mocked and ridiculed for building an ark. Mocked and ridiculed for 100 years. We get mocked and ridiculed. It's very little that we have to go through. Might be our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners who mock us. But what Jesus is saying is, I've got some wonderful things that are going to occur. I've got some magnificent things that I have planned. And he says to us, I've given you the book of heaven. I'm expecting a great deal from you. I'm expecting you to work with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what it really means to be truly Catholic. When Jesus spoke to the Jews, and they said, we're no illegitimate breed like you, Jesus. And Jesus says, basically, your father is not God. Your father is the devil. Sometimes people say that to us. They say, we don't like what you're doing. And it's okay. It's okay. Everyone has their free will to choose which side they want to be on. When you read the book of heaven, and when you really read the book of heaven, there's no question. There's no question. It might be difficult at first to enter into it because this is the language of heaven and you have to learn it. But what Jesus is going to show you is how to begin to live this abundant life. So he says very, very clearly, see what a prolonged and continuous sacrifice means. Noah would not have saved himself if he didn't obey. Noah, if he did not build that ark for those 100 years, that new generation would have ended. So he says, what God is doing now is he's asking us to embrace this new and abundant life that Jesus wants to give us. So Jesus says this, it is so great that one places oneself in safety and makes the new life arise in others, as well as the good that we, Triune God, have established to give. Do you see what he's asking of us? This continuous sacrifice of not doing your human will. See, our sacrifice, our suffering that we're going through, everybody's going through it. And you can drag your cross behind you and complain and be negative, or you can embrace your cross as Jesus embraced his and say, this is the life you have given me. Fiat, you know, and again, why are we doing this? Why are we making this sacrifice of not giving life to our human will, striving to live in the divine will? Because he says, it is so great that one places himself in safety and makes, again, the safety is the divine will, and makes the new life arise in others, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners who cannot live in the divine will, Jesus says, at this time. Their human will is so strong, they can't let go of it. So Jesus is saying to us, do you want to be in safety? Do you want this new life to arise in your family? Do you want, in the next line, as well as the good that the Triune God has established to give back to mankind, this abundant life, this preternatural life, a life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. Again, the saints knew about this, but they didn't possess it. So Jesus is saying to us, I'm expecting more from you. I'm giving you more than I gave to the saints. This is why we love Louisa. What God has given to Louisa is so magnificent. What God has given to Louisa is so beautiful. And he's saying to us, I want to give this to you. And he says to us, do you want this? If we say no, he'll say fine. And he backs away from us. If we say, well, this is too complicated, he says, fine. Then he backs away from us. If we make any excuse, the Lord says, fine. I mean, he is expecting immediate obedience as he expected and wanted from the Blessed Mother, and she gave that immediate obedience when the angel said, you will be the mother of the Son of God. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. This is what God is looking for, that immediate fiat, that yes to God. And as you're reading the divine will, what I have found is people who give that yes to God, oh, I love this, I want this, they grow very fast in the divine will. And those that say, well, I have a problem with this, I'm really not sure, I'm concerned about this, I'm not particularly fond of that, and what I found with those people who cannot give a fiat, an immediate fiat, is they eventually leave the divine will. It's too much. I can't do it. I don't want to do this. I've got my own life. I want to live what I want. I want to be holy. I want to be saintly. I want to be good. And God says, fine. This one lady in our prayer group, she would always say to me, Father, what would we do without you? I said, well, you're on the road to great sanctity. You'll be a great saint, but you won't live in the divine will. And they said, oh, I can't leave it. I can't leave it. She did. She left the divine will. And at the end of her life, she said, maybe I made a mistake. You know, this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, is given to us by God himself. How glorious is this? Again, the more that you read, and if you're reading the calendar, if you're reading every day, God is working on you very powerfully. And he's filling you with truths that will make you so filled with joy. And you won't even know why, because he is speaking to you. Can you imagine? Let's go back 2,000 years, and you're sitting with Jesus at Capernaum, right outside of Peter's house. And you're sitting there, you know, there's the lake in front of you, and he's talking to you. The Word of God is talking to you. What would it be like? Well, when you read the Book of Heaven, you're there with Jesus. Jesus is actually speaking to you. What Louisa has written down on paper was to her, her alone. But Jesus is so pleased with her that he says, I'd like to give this to others as well. And then he says to us, here's the Book of Heaven. Do you want to listen to me? Do you want me to speak to you? Do you want me to ontologically change you? That was a question I had when I spoke to Cardinal Burke. You know, Jesus says the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. And I said to him, does this mean that there will be another ontological change in us? My suspicion is yes, but as Louisa says, bewildered. What do you mean by that? And as you read this, as you study this Book of Heaven, as Jesus is speaking to you, as Jesus is transmuting you with every word, he is the Word of God. And these words are so important. That's why the calendar this year is very important for us. As you read every day, little by little, like today, I think there's two readings. Yesterday, I think there was 10. Jesus is speaking to us. And he wants us to become aware of this great gift. He wants us to begin to live this gift that he lived, that the Blessed Mother lived. Again, there was only four people that lived this gift. Adam before the fall. Eve fell almost immediately. Why? She was being tested. She had to be tested. Because Adam was filled completely with the divine will, as God originally planned. And he was to give this to us. And he fell. And then Jesus possessed it as the Son of God. Mary possessed it as the Mother of God, Theotokos, the Mother of God. The two possessed it, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now, 2,000 years later, we have Louisa. She possesses this gift. Four people possess this gift. The next one, if you read the three appeals, the first one next to Louisa who will possess this gift will be the Holy Father. And when you read that, it's very, very clear. He says, Louisa says to the Holy Father, "You are the head of the Catholic Church. Therefore, you are head of the divine will, the kingdom of the divine will." And Jesus says to Louisa, "You will give this gift back to the man." And he says to Louisa, "You must be the key." This is the key that the Holy Father will use to open the door of the kingdom. It's Louisa. To begin to live this abundant life. This is what God is waiting for. Jesus says, "This is why, for the kingdom of my divine will, I, God, wanted your long and continuous sacrifice of many years of bed." You know, my mother spent 8 years in bed, and I would say to her, you know, "Are you in competition with Louisa?" This is 1/8 of the time that Louisa spent in bed. It's a sacrifice. It's to begin. Jesus is conditioning us to begin to live this abundant life. Louisa lived it. Louisa possessed it. And now Jesus is asking us. So the more that we strive to not do our human will by living in God's holy divine will, the sooner the kingdom is going to be established. This is really, really magnificent what our God is doing. Again, if you're concerned about sacrifice, if you're concerned about suffering, look at Jesus on the cross. Look at Mary at the foot of the cross. The new Adam and the new Eve. What did they go through? They went through that suffering for us. They redeemed. Jesus redeemed, and Our Lady co-redeemed us. I mean, she co-redeemed with Jesus for us. It's the new beginning. And it's not to continue to live a life of, "Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. I thought this, I said this, I did this, I failed to do that. I am so sorry." It's to begin to live the abundant life that Jesus possessed, that Mary possessed. This is so amazing what God is doing. And all He's asking of us is He's asking us to give our fiat. It's all He's asking. He says, "This is why, for the kingdom of my divine will, I, God, wanted your long and continuous sacrifice of many years in bed." This is what you did, Louisa. I needed this. I needed your sacrifice. I needed your yes, your obedience, your fiat. Adam failed. Adam was disobedient. Adam did not obey. God said to him, "Do not eat the tree, the fruit of that one tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat that, or you will die this day." And what happens? 930 years later, he's dead. That day was like 1,000 years. He died that day. And now it's 2,000 years later. It's been 2 days, if you want to say, since Jesus left. Do you see how close it's coming? How close we are? It's like He left a day and He's returning. He was only gone a day, turned around and started coming back. And what is God saying to us? Is He's saying to us that we really want to begin to live this abundant life. That's what He's saying. "Your long sacrifice placed you, Louisa, in safety more than the ark of the kingdom of my divine will." Okay, so He's saying, "Your long sacrifice has placed you in safety, as Noah was placed in safety." more than the ark. Okay. What happened? One family was saved. You know, the eight people that were there. With Louisa, again, one family is saved. That's the family of Louisa. That's what our Lord is asking of us. He's pleading with us. Would you? And that's why the Archbishop Pichieri said, would you become a member of the little family of Louisa? So when we have, you know, if you become a third order Benedictine, you should have an image of the family of Nazareth, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Now what's happening is Jesus is asking us, through the Archbishop, to become a member of the little family of Louisa, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. It's a new beginning. What's coming is what God has planned from the beginning. We're going back to our origin. We're going back to God. And this is why he says the divine will is the infinite ocean of love that he asks us to enter into and never leave. It's a whole new beginning. Think about it. The infinite ocean of love, he says, I want you to come into this, and I don't want you to leave. Now, when we think of that, some become afraid. You know, I don't like the water, or I don't know what this is going to be like. Absolutely, you don't know what it's going to be like. It's peace, joy, and happiness. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, and no more sin. It's to begin to live the life that God originally planned for mankind. See, the time of the devil is coming to an end. Our time of living it hasn't even begun yet. We get glimpses of it as we read the Book of Heaven. And what's so amazing about this gift is the more that you read, the more you will understand. Now, if you don't read, you're not going to understand a thing. You know, you could say, well, I've learned, you know, through the mystics, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, what the church is all about. Well, that's what the Jews said to Jesus when he said, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of Man. I am greater than the Sabbath. You know, they were terrified, you know. Look what happened when the Magi showed up. All of Jerusalem was upset. The King of Kings is here. Those from the east traveled and wanted to be with the King of Kings. And they said to the religious, they said to the high priest, they said to the you know, Herod, where is the King of the Jews? And he says, find him. Tell me where he is. And I will worship him too. No, they hated Jesus. See, today our God is saying, I'm going to give you something that you're not even expecting. It's the entering into the kingdom. So he says, Louisa, your long sacrifice placed you in safety more than the ark in the kingdom of my divine will. And it inclines my divine goodness to give a good so great of making the divine will reign in the midst of creatures. Because of you, Louisa, Jesus says. He says, God is now going to give this kingdom on earth in the midst of creatures. So, as you read this book of heaven, what happens? Jesus begins to live in you. Jesus begins to reign in you. As you begin to live this, Jesus is gazing in your gazing, listening in your listening, beating in your heart beating, breathing in your breathing. Jesus is in the midst of your family. You're not there anymore. Oh, you can be there if your human will is in charge. And you could be miserable and upset and angry and frustrated because they're not doing what you say. or you can be filled with peace, joy, and happiness, knowing Jesus is there with them through you. Jesus is gazing at them in the divine will. Jesus is listening to them in the divine will. Do you see how your family is going to change? Your neighborhood is going to change? Your nation, the world is going to change? Jesus is going to be there. You're giving Jesus the opportunity to reign in you to such an extent that he brings about complete restoration. And that's what he's going to do. So he's waiting for us to get out of the way. That's our sacrifice. Get out of the way. I don't want you talking. That's what we have to be stern with ourselves. Don't say a word. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. Jesus, fill me with your peace. Fill me with your joy, even amid sorrow and sadness. Jesus, you have to be here. And Jesus says to us, get out of the way. I'll be there. So do you see why this is so amazing? What our Lord is doing for the world is he's beginning a new era. It's the era of heaven. And he's using us by telling us, sacrifice your anger. Sacrifice your control of the situation. Sacrifice what you want to say. I'll put them in their place. How dare they? You say, Jesus, you reign in me. Do you see what God's doing? And what's he saying? He's saying, because, Louisa, what you have gone through, these 64 years in bed, he says, now in my divine goodness, I'm now going to give to the world this divine good that's so great, that's going to make the divine will reign in the midst of creatures. It's here. It's begun. And it can begin in you, and it can begin in your family. It can begin in your neighborhood. It can begin in your parish. If we get out of the way, that's all that Jesus is asking. Psalm 28:11-30, 19:30. My daughter, do you want to know who makes God be felt alive in the heart of the creature? My will reigning in the creature, in Louisa. Who makes God be felt alive in your heart? It's Louisa. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you feel God alive in your heart? Do you feel God reigning as king? Is his throne your heart? Is your heart his throne? Is the Lord there? Are you filled with peace, joy, and happiness? If you don't experience that, it's because you haven't read Louisa. Oh, I've been reading it for years. No, you haven't read Louisa. You haven't learned the language. See, when we are alone with Jesus, this is why, going back to the calendar, every day that you read, God is going to teach you. And it's almost like, as you're reading, the only way to describe it, it's like going to heaven, sitting with Jesus in the kingdom, and have him teaching us. And then coming back to earth with a divine anesthesia, as if you never left. And yet, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And you don't know why. Why am I so happy? Again, with Jesus, there's no time or space. And, you know, when Jesus said to his apostles, go to your room, close the door, and pray. This more and more especially is that great things are happening with the souls who are reading the book of heaven by going to the room and closing the door and reading. As you pray, Jesus is praying and you're praying. And when you read Jesus saying to Louisa, I want you to write this, Louisa, don't lose a word. We read it slightly different. I want you to read this and don't lose a word. Read it carefully. Study it. Make this your life. Now, there's a lot of books out there, Jesus says, but there's only one book that will transform a soul. And he says, that is the book of heaven. He says to Louisa, this book of heaven is me, God. Now, that doesn't mean the writings are God, but as you read this, Jesus is speaking to you, to me. He says, I will stand right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you understand this, and I'll touch your heart to fall in love with it. What are you really falling in love with? You're falling in love with the voice of Jesus. You're falling in love with the light of Jesus. You're falling in love with the love of Jesus. That's what the book of heaven is all about. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. God says, fine, then you can't believe it. And the souls, like I said before, if the souls that say, yes, I want this, Fia, I want this, God says, watch what I'm going to do. So you can't outdo God in generosity. And as you're reading this, as you're generous with God, Jesus, teach me, lead me, guide me, direct me. And this is what God is waiting for. He says, who makes God felt alive in the heart of a soul? It is Louisa. My will reigning in Louisa. The more that we read this, the more this happens to us. God's got great plans. So he says this. In fact, not giving life to the human will, he says, my fiat makes her feel vividly its divine love, divine power, divine goodness, divine sanctity that run in all the acts of the soul, all the acts of the creature. So again, it goes back to the sacrifice. By not giving life to your own human will, what I want. See, Jesus will say to us, what do you want? Okay, he says this to us every day, every morning. What would you like today? And our response is, I want to love you and to enter into this gift. I want the divine will to reign in me. I want to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom could be established on earth as it is in heaven. And then God goes, but what do you want? And a lot of people at that point say, okay, this is what I want. I want to build a school. I want to build a hospital. And God goes, what kind do you want to do? How do you want to do this? Do you want it out of brick? Do you want it out of wood? How do you want this? You go, yeah, brick. I think I'd like brick. And then he says to us, well, how many floors do you want? And he goes, well, do you want two floors? Do you want four floors? What do you want? I think I want three floors. Okay. What else do you want? That's saintly. That's not divine will. But Jesus is so in love with us that he says, I have to give you what you want. The divine will, when Jesus says, what do you want? Our response should be, I only want what you want. I want the kingdom to be established in me on earth as it is in heaven. And he goes, and anything else? Do you want anything else? And we say, no, I only want what you want. And Jesus says, are you sure you don't want anything? And at that point, people go, well, yeah, I do want, I'd like to have this or that. And God says, well, what style, what design do you want? See, it's. He has to find out whether we really want the divine will as our goal. And when we say, Lord Jesus, all I want is to live in the divine will. All I want is the kingdom to be established. All I want is what you want, Lord. He says to us, as he said to Louisa, brava, good. We want the same thing. Do you see how our God is so in love with us that he does not want to interfere with our free will? And our free will, this is the sacrifice. This goes back to the sacrifice. And this is why Jesus says very clearly, you know, who makes God alive in your heart? It's the divine will reigning in Louisa. And then Jesus says, you have to understand this. By not giving life to her human will, my fiat makes Louisa feel vividly divine love, divine power, divine goodness, divine sanctity that run in the acts, all the acts, every heartbeat, every breath, every gaze, every step of the creature. So he's looking at us. He's pleading with us. Can you get out of the way? We have to get to the point. This is why reading the divine will is so important. We have to get to the point where we say to Jesus, I only want what you want. I only want the divine will to reign in me on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus will say to us, bravo. Now you can receive what I gave to Louisa. And that means we place ourselves totally and completely in the hands of God. For Louisa, he says, there isn't a faraway God, but a God who is so close and the primary of Louisa's life and of all of Louisa's acts. This is what Jesus wants for us. We go to Louisa, plead with Louisa, pray to Louisa, beg Louisa. Before I read the book of heaven, I always say a little prayer. Louisa, help me understand what Jesus taught you. Help me to embrace everything that Jesus taught you. I don't want anything for myself. I want what Jesus wants. See, this is why God loved Louisa so much. He said to Adam, go and don't eat of the fruit of that one tree in the garden. He said to Louisa, go to bed and stay there for the rest of your life. Then he said, no more eating food. Then he said to her, no more sleeping. Then he said to her, no more drinking liquid. Her response was fiat, fiat, fiat. I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done that. Louisa did it. She's the chosen one. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. She possesses this gift. This whole book of heaven is about Louisa, what God did with her. And then he offers it to us. And he says to us, where is Louisa in your life? Where is she? Where's her love in her own heart? Where's her life in her own life? See, this Louisa studied this book. And you'll hear her. She'll, you know, in volume 23, she'll say, I was studying again what Jesus told me in volume 20. Do we do this? This is why the calendar is so important for this year. It's a renewal of everything that you have read. And God is going to manifest his love to us in a way that will astonish us. Therefore, he says, the living in my most holy divine will maintains the vigor, of all the divine goods that we gave to Adam in creating Adam, and makes of Adam the throne of God, the throne of his glory, and God then dominates and reigns in Adam. And then Adam dominates and reigns on earth. Do you see this whole thing of image and likeness? This is what God is doing. He's giving us this great opportunity of beginning to possess the life that Adam lost. But more than what Adam had. Adam did not have the book of heaven. Jesus said I would have taught him that if he hadn't have sinned. So what Louisa possesses is more than what God gave to Adam. And now God is saying, I want to bring back to you the throne of God within you. I want to bring back to you. This is us reading divine glory, where God is glorified, where God dominates, where God reigns. And once that happens, and we begin to share in the image and likeness of God, then we dominate on the earth. See, it's the plan of God failed. It was, he says to Louisa, I want to play a risky game with you. I lost with Adam. I didn't lose with the Blessed Mother. And then he says to Louisa, I want to not lose with you, Louisa. It's a risky game I'm playing. I want to give back to man a share in divinity through you, Louisa Picaretta. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose at this game. And then he says, Adam lost. But he says, Louisa, you cannot lose. Why? Louisa, you possess the true life of Jesus, who cannot lose, as the new Adam. The true life of Mary, the new Eve, who cannot lose this gift. You possess Jesus and Mary, the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary. And so he's saying to us, would you be willing to embrace this as well? We have to be honest with Jesus. And we have to basically go to Louisa. This is how you're going to be honest with Jesus. I want this gift, Lord. Blessed Mother, I want this gift. I don't have Louisa yet. I don't possess her yet. We go to Louisa because she possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Where is Louisa? Where is the little newborn? Where is she? That's what God is waiting for. He says to us very, very clearly, who makes God feel alive in the heart of the soul? It's Louisa, the divine will reigning in Louisa. Louisa, who didn't give life to her human will. Louisa, within Louisa, you feel vividly divine love, divine power, divine goodness, divine sanctity in every thought, word, and deed that you accomplish. Because Louisa's there. For there isn't a faraway God, but a God who is close. And the primary life of Louisa's life and of all of Louisa's acts. See, we're learning how to live this life through the newborn. This is what Jesus is expecting. Therefore, living in God's holy divine will maintains the vigor of all the goods that God gave to Adam, and even more than Adam in creating him, and then makes of the soul who's linked to Louisa the throne of God, the throne of his glory, where God dominates, where God reigns. And then the soul dominates and reigns as the little child of the divine will. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's finally begun. He's finally getting ready for us to live a life that he has wanted 6,000 years ago. And it's happening. We've begun the 7,000th year. And a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. It's a new beginning for mankind. Again, what God has planned is happening now because of Louisa. Don't try to live in the divine will separate from Louisa. Go to Louisa. Plead with Louisa. Beg Louisa. Pray to Louisa. Ask her, Louisa, I have to learn what Jesus taught you. Teach me. Guide me. Direct me. This is what God is waiting for. What a great time. What a great and a magnificent time that we're living in. We're living in a new era. It's begun. And Jesus is asking us, more than the saints, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's begun. And he's asking us, enter into this gift by reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. Enter into the book of heaven. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.